Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erevin Daf Yod Tes. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of the wedding of his granddaughter Margalit Silver and Matan Goldman. Mazel tov to the parents Leah and Yitzi Silver and Stacy and Amir Goldman, and in appreciation of the Daf Yom Shir. And it's also sponsored by Sarah and Daniel Cooper, Li'ila Nishmas, Daniel's grandmother, Hinda Zisel Bas Eliyahu, Aleha Shalom is Yartzeh. Today we thank you very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again on Daf Yud Ches on the Beis, and we're in the middle of going through the various statements of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. So we learned a number of the statements of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar yesterday, but now we have a few more from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar that we're going to learn today. We left off at Vam Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar called Bayis Shenishma Inbo Divrei Torah Belaila. The last words on the line are Ve'omer Rav, and then about five lines before the line, get wide. And then after we learn the whole Amud Aleph, pretty much most of Amud Aleph is Agadita, thanks to Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. He's the one that provided us with all this Agadita here in Maseches Erevin. So he's also going to talk about how different people react to the punishment of Gehenim. And once we talk about Gehenim, we're going to talk about the openings of Gehenim, the doorways of Gehenim, and then we'll also talk about the different names that Gehenim has. And then at the end of Amud Aleph, we're going to get back to discussing Pasei Biraos, which was the topic of the Mishnah, how you make these makeshift corner pieces around a bar so that you could be memali mayim to feed your animals, to give your animals to drink. So the Gemara is going to discuss how to measure the area between the corner pieces of the Pasei Biraos. The Mishnah had mentioned something about animals, a certain number of animals, two sets of three or four animals. So we're going to discuss what that means in terms of real numbers, in terms of amos. Then the Gemara is going to have for the rest of Avin Beis, and going well into tomorrow's daf, six questions that Abaye asked Rabbah about the halachos of Pasei Biraos. So we'll get probably to the first three of them today, maybe the first four, and then Beis Hashem will continue with them tomorrow. So let's begin. Vam Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Kol Bayis Nishman Bo Divrei Torah Belaila, Shuvenu Nechrav. Any house that you can hear Divrei Torah being learnt in that house at night, then it's not going, that house will no longer be destroyed. Shenemar V'lo Amar Ayei Eloka Osai Nosain Zmiros Belaila. So we dash in the pasuk that someone who's Nosain Zmiros Belaila, meaning he learns Torah at night, Bekol, so that you could hear it coming out of his house, it's he's not going to get to the point of Ayei Elokai Shasaani Vatini Chorev. He's not going to get to the point of where is God, why is it that now everything is destroyed, because his bias is not going to be destroyed at all. Now the assumption of this drasha is that when we say Zmiros Belaila, Zmiros is a reference to Divrei Torah. So the Marsha asks the Kasha that, wait a second, David HaMelech, the Gemara Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Hey, tells us David HaMelech was punished for referring to Divrei Torah as Zmiros. How could it be that the Gemara darshan's a pasuk that Zmiros is a reference to Divrei Torah, and it's not a pasuk in Tehillim, it's a pasuk in Eov, so why is it that we refer to Divrei Torah as Zmiros over here? So he says that it's not called, Divrei Torah are called Zmiros, not because they're just stam, something that you would sing. Over here they're called Zmiros in the sense that they are heard, that Zmiros, by definition, a song, is something that's only valuable if other people could hear it. So over here we're talking about Divrei Torah that is Bekal, that is learned audibly, and when Divrei Torah is learned audibly, that's a higher madrega of Talmud Torah. So much so, that even though it's Balaila, you would think Balaila you should learn quietly. Balaila, you don't want to disturb the neighbors. There are laws about that. You know, the police come after 10 o'clock if you're too loud at night. So you would think not to disturb the neighbors, Balaila. So Kamash Mlan, that even Balaila you're supposed to learn Divrei Torah. In fact, that's the tshuva on the topic of Gezel Shena. There's only one tshuva I'm aware of in rabbinic literature on the topic of Gezel Shena, because the concept of Gezel Shena doesn't really appear in Shas and Rishonim and Poskim. It was I always was under the impression that it's a concept that was made up by like a camp counselor in the Catskills in the 1970s or something. But the concept of Gezel Shena is not something that you really find in Poskim, except there's one tshuva in the Mishnah Halachos from Menashe Klein, one of the contemporary Poskim. He passed away already a number of years ago. In Chelek Yudalit, Simon Reish, he discusses whether you can learn loudly at night if the neighbors are disturbed by the noise. And he says, not only can you do it, you can have a whole base medrash of people learning loudly at night. And it doesn't matter that the neighbors are disturbed by the noise. All of Niske Shechenim is suspended for the sounds of Torah learning. And his raya is from a Mishnah in Mesachas Bab Basra, where the Mishnah tells in Avchafim Beis that if you have a store in a chatzar where you have neighbors that live in the chatzar, so the neighbor, the owner of the store, could be Mocha Biyodo and say, I can't sleep, Mikola Nechrasin, or Mikola Yotzin, because of all the noise of people coming in and out, all the traffic. There's a residential area. You could open up a store in a residential area. However, the balabais is allowed, the balachanus is allowed to produce whatever he produces, then bring it out to the market and sell it there. But he's allowed to produce in the chatzer. And then the Gemara, the Mishnah goes on to say, but he can't complain mikolatinokos. He's not allowed to complain about the kolatinokos. So the Gemara says, Rav explains the reason why by a store you're allowed to say eni yachlishon mikolat nuchas and mikolat yotzin. And you're not allowed to say that I'm not allowed to sleep mikola tinokos, because tinokos refers to tinokos shel beis rabban, and mitakarnas Rabbi Shimon Gamla v'elech. Once Rabbi Shimon Gamla made a takana that you're supposed to be moshivin melamde tinokos b'chol yerir b'chol pelech b'pelech, you're supposed to have in every Jewish community melamde tinokos, so that overrides the general rules that you have of zoning and whatever, that this place isn't zoned for a yeshiva. Every Jewish community is zoned for a yeshiva. Every Jewish community, once there's such a takana, is zoned for Talmud Torah. So that's how the Rambam explains that the reason you're not allowed to be mocha biyado by the tinokos is because to be marbet Torah be Yisrael was the takana, even at the expense of disrupting the neighbors. So that's what Menashe Klein suggests, that that's what we're learning from this pasuk as well, as far as the base medrash running at night, that it's always okay to have a call of Torah that's created. I'm reminded of a story. My brother's father-in-law, Dr. Yaakov Tendler, said that when he was in medical school, he was a balkari also. So he was busy in medical school. So he would practice his laning late at night. That was the only time he could practice his laning. And apparently the walls in Einstein were like paper thin. So one of his neighbors said, "Were you practicing laning at like 2 a.m. last night?" He said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you're able to hear that." And the neighbor said, No, I wanted to thank you. It was the most beautiful sound I had to hear all night, to hear Kriyas HaTorah, to hear the Torah being read. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, that Balayla, the Divrei Torah should be Nishma'im Balayla. From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, when we want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we only do so with two letters of the Shem Hashem, the letter Yud and the letter Hey. Shnemar Kol HaNeshama Talel Ka Halleluka, that we darshan that it's that Kol HaNeshama, everybody has access to the Shem of Yud Kei. That's this probably related to the drash of the Gemara as elsewhere, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka, that Eina Kisei Shalem Eina Shem Shalem until Las Lavel, that now that we're Bishas Churban, we only have the partial Shem Hashem of Yud and Hey. At least that's the only part that's accessible to all of us, and then the full Shem Hashem, the Shem Hashem, only becomes Shalem when we have Gu'ula. V'am Rabbi Yom Ben Elazar, another comment of Rabbi Yom Ben Elazar, Niskal L'Bavel, Niskal L'Shcheneha. When Bavel is cursed, its neighbors get cursed as well. Why does Bavel get cursed? For the terrible things that they've done to the Jewish people. So the neighbors of Bavel are caught up in the curse as well, like the Gemara Maseches Sukkah tells us, Oy L'Rasha, Oy L'Shcheneha. That when evil befalls a Rasha, it's bad for the neighbors of the Rasha as well, so that's why you try to stay away from Rishayim. But Niskal Shomron, when Shomron was cursed, Nisparchu Shechina, became a bracha for the Shechinim, for the neighbors of Shomron. Why did Shomron get cursed? Because after the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Malchus was split between Malchus Yehuda, which was located in Yerushalayim, and the Malchus Yisrael, which was in the Shomron. So the Malchus Yisrael, generally speaking, the people of Yisrael also were not so good, and they did a lot of terrible averos, and therefore they were cursed. But we're talking about Jewish people being cursed over here. So we say, yeah, they are cursed, but Nisbarchu Shechinah, the neighboring areas were Nisbarich, they were blessed. So Niskal L'Bavel, Niskal L'Shechinah, we find by Bavel when it comes to the Goyim who persecuted the Jewish people, that their neighbors are cursed as well. D'chsiv, V'samtiel, Moresh, Kipod, V'agme Mayim, that their Yerusha is going to be for the Chayos Ra'os, for all the wild beasts and whatever. It's all going to be lost. Niskal Shomron, Nisbarchu Shechinah. But we find that when Niskal Shomron, the neighbors benefit from it, because what does it mean that they're going to lose? See, by Bavel, when the Yishuv is destroyed, it's wild beasts. Wild beasts are bad for everybody in that area. You don't want wild beasts around. But when Shomron is destroyed, what does it mean happens to Shomron? It's not that wild beasts start to roam, but rather, Santi Shomron that Shomron all of a sudden becomes fields and vineyards. Terrible for Shomron. They lost their Yishuv, but really great for everybody else around it. Now they have all of these fields and all of these vineyards. So even though Nisparchu Shechinah, but it's a klala for Anshe Shomron because they lost whatever they had. The Marsha explains, but it's a klala for Eretz Yisrael itself because Eretz Yisrael, the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the most important, it's the highest value, the highest form of benefit for Eretz Yisrael is to have the Jewish people there. So yeah, it might be nice to have Sadus Ukrabim. It's generally a curse though to lose a Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, but the neighbors do benefit from it, and that's the Nisbarchu Shcheineha. Next comment of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Ram Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Bo Reish Lokum Yisrael Kodesh Baruch Hu Midas Basar V'dam. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates and the way human beings operate are totally different. Midas Basar V'dam is Chayiv Adam Rigal Malchus Matil Nochikol Letok Piv Kadesh Lo Yikal Elas HaMelech. That when a person is Chayiv Misa to the is going to be killed by the Melech, so they put something, a bit in his mouth, so that he won't be able to say anything, he won't be able to curse the king, because we know if he could speak, that's when he would be speaking. But Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adam is Chayiv Harigal Makom, when a person is Chayiv Harigal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shosek, he's not Megadeh, if he's not Mecharif Megadeh, if he doesn't say anything, Shenamar L'chadom Miyatihila, that everyone is silent and they're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when it comes to facing the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're absolutely silent. The Ritva explains in the name of the Medrash that what does a person complain about when he's in the Chayiv Harigal Malchus? He always perceives some injustice in his punishment. And I mean, usually that's true to some extent, meaning there's never absolute justice down here because no human judge sees the full picture. So you can't have a sense of perfect justice down here. But when it comes to Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to dealing with the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows that it's absolute justice and therefore there's nothing to complain about. V'lo od ela shemishabeach. But not only that, not only is he silent in the face of the punishment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he turns out praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar Tehila, that it says Tehila, how many times you hear of holy Jews who suffer terribly and through their suffering all they do is say how thankful they are to the Ribbono Shel Olam for whatever brachos they do have. So it kind of leads a person to Tehila. V'lo od ela shedomalau kilu makrif karbon. Not only that, they view their sacrifice as a karbon. A karbon is a way of coming karov, of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They view their sacrifice, or whatever it is that they're losing, whatever suffering they're having, as a way of coming closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shenemar ulcha yishulam neder, that it's through that we're paying off a neder, that it's kilu, we're paying off a karbon. Haynu dam Rabbi Shimon Levi, and this is similar to that which Rabbi Shimon Levi says. May dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Ovre be'emek havacha ma'ayna yishisu, gam brachos yatemora? So the pasuk is a reference to those who are sinning, when they're being punished, they're matzdik the din, and they say that Kodesh Baruch Hu is just. How so? Ovrei el bin adam shav nol v'son shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ovrei is a reference to people who do not do the will of Hashem. Emek shema mikalan v'anim. Emek is that Gehenim gets deeper for them. Deeper, we assume, means worse. The Taras Chaim points out that the Gehenim l'mayla, when the higher levels of Gehenim, is not as hot. It's not as boiling as Gehenim l'mata. So ma'amikin Gehenim means that it gets to the worst stages of Gehenim. And Habacha, Mayin Shisu, he says, Shabochim Ridin Demos, Kemayin Shal Shisin. That they start being Morid Demos, the tears come out of their eyes, like the Shisin in the Mizbeach, the two holes in the Mizbeach where they would pour the Nesachim. So Gam Brachos, Yatamora, that Shematzikin Aleim Esadin, Vom Lufan of Ribbono Shalom, Yafa Dante, Yafa Zakisa, Yafa Chiyafta, Yafa Dikanta Ganam Lerushalim Ganedim Tzadikim. That they're going to say at that time that Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing everything right, all of the punishment is just, and all of the reward for the tzaddikim is just. Everything is right, everything is just. So says Mara Eini, is that really true that the Rishayim are nidin b'gehenim, that they're being matzdik the din, that that's the way they react to Gehenim, when as long as it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's punishing them, that's the reaction. V'am Rav Shem ben Lakish, Rishayim afilo al pizkush al Gehenim, Einim chazim b'tshuva, Rasha, even on... by the Pesach of Gehenim still doesn't do tshuva. Shenamar v'yatzuv ro b'pigrei anashim haposhim bi. And we darshin shepashu lo nemar ela haposhim. It doesn't say that previously were posheya, but haposhim in the present tense. That even as this is going on, shepashim v'holchin yolam, that they continue to be posheya. And they're not chozer b'tshuva, even when the toloim are already eating their basa, already eating their flesh. Because that's what the Pasuk says. Ki tolatam lo tamus. Right, the Toloim are eating their flesh, and they're still being posheya. They're already in Ganim, they're still being posheya. The Ritva brings from a Medrash that those Rishayim that are nidon b'shelegu be'esh, when they Rishayim are punished with cold and with hot. We always think of Gehenim as hot, but it's also cold, that they're nidon b'sheleg and be'esh. So the Medrash says, I don't know what this means, but the Medrash says by the end of the din b'sheleg, they pocket some of the snow to bring it with them because they know that the esh is coming, so they're going to want to cool themselves off when they get to the Eish, so they bring some of the Sheleg with them. The Ritva quotes from the Medrash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not only were you Ganavim down there, now you continue to be a Ganav up here, you're still not doing Tshuva, that even when facing the Onesh, you're still a Ganav. So that's so the Gemara is raising this question, how can you say that when it comes to the Onesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ganim, the Rishayim are going to be Matzdik Adin, and they'll view it as a Karban, and it will be a source of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see they don't even do Tshuva al Pischa Shal Ganim. So lo kasha, haba posha Yisrael, of the Chavim. It depends who we're talking about. When it comes to Poshe Yisrael, we use that as an opportunity to do tshuva and come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Poshe of the Chavim can continue to strengthen themselves in their evil ways. So Hachi Nami Mistavra, and that Chilik is very Mistavra. Dim Kain, because if you can say that Rabbi Shimon Malakish is talking about Poshe Yisrael when he talks about those who don't do tshuva, then Kasha Dresh Lakish and Dresh Lakish, then we'd have a stira within Shitas Resh Lakish. Dam Resh Lakish, Poshe Yisrael ain organim shaletas ben. The Poshe Yisrael are not affected by the Or Shel Ganim. Kal v'chomer mi Mizbeach HaZohav. And it's Kal v'chomer from the Mizbeach HaZohav. Ma Mizbeach HaZohav Shein Elav Elo Ko'ovei Dinar Zohav. The Mizbeach HaZohav only has a coating of gold. That's the thickness of a dinar. And yet, Amad Kamashan V'lo Sholta Ba'or. And every day there you light a fire on it and they're being Maktir Ketoris on it. And somehow the gold remains unaffected by it. So Poshe Yisrael Shemalei and Mitzos Krimon. Poshe Yisrael who are full of mitzvos like a pomegranate. Shenamar, Kepela Harim and Rekasech, Vam Rabbi Shemelag Shaltikarekasech, Altikre Rakasech, Ala Rekasech, Shafil Rekarnish Bechol Malay Mitzvos Kerimon. That even the most empty of the Jewish people are full of mitzvos like a Rimon. So Alachas Kama Vakama, that the Eish is not going to be Sholate on the Poshe Yisrael. So since Reish Lakish tells us that the Eish is not Sholate on Poshe Yisrael, you can't darshan the Pasuk that says, Viyatu Vero Kipigre Anashma Poshim Bi, Kitolatum Lot. Thomas v'isham lo tichbe to be talking about Poshe Yisrael, because it says that the Eish is going to be sholeit on whoever that's talking about. So that must be talking about the Poshe of the Chavim, but the Poshe Yisrael are impervious to the Eish of Gehenim. That's how they understand. I guess this counts as Daf Yomi Kinsan, as we get ready a few weeks from Rosh Hashanah, that we talk about Malei Mitzvos Krimon. That's the symbolism of a Rimon on Rosh Hashanah. There is no truth to the idea that a Rimon, I think, has exactly 613 seeds, but it has a lot of seeds, and that's the point, that Malay mitzvahs, Krimon, just like Rimon has a lot of seeds. So the Jewish people, no matter, even if they're shvacha pomegranate, even a shvacha pomegranate has a lot of seeds, has a lot of mitzvahs. So that's why the Poshe Yisrael are referred to in that way. Well, wait a second. If the Poshe Yisrael ain't Or Shel Ganim Shalatas Bem, so what's the point of the Or Shel Ganim for Poshe Yisrael? What does that mean? Meaning, it sounds like they are Yorid the Gehenim, but the Or doesn't is not Sholit. The Or doesn't affect them. So the Torah Schai. One of the Achronim explains that the idea of the Or Shel Gehenim being Sholet over here is when Poshe of the Chavim face Gehenim, the Or is a destructive Or. But sometimes you have Or that while it's painful, and it's a purification process, that you'll have you have silver that needs to be purified. So you expose it to Or, and it loses some of its weight, some of its mamashos, but it's just getting rid of the dirt. It's getting rid of the part that you don't want, and then it's purifying that which remains. So we suggest that that's the Or of Ganim, that it's ki'ilu going to a mikveh, and he tainas that that's the reason why the Minhag Yisrael in many communities is to go to a mikveh on Erev Shabbos. Why dafka on Erev Shabbos go to mikveh? If it was about Tevilas Ezra, you would do it every single day. So where does the Minhag come from to do it Erev Shabbos? So he says Shabbos is me'ein olam haba, and in order to approach olam haba, a person first has to go through a purification process. says, of the Arshel Gehenim. So we reenact that, or I guess pre-enact that by going to a mikveh prior to Me'ein Olam Haba, to go through that purification process. There's a lot written about how Shabbos parallels Olam Haba in many ways. So that's the that's how we suggest we benefit from the Poshe Yisrael benefit from the Arshel Gehenim. The Kli Yakar raises the question in his commentary on Chumash that if they're Mleim Mitzvos Kerimon, why are they called Rekanim? What makes them empty if they're in fact Mleim Mitzvos Kerimon? So he says we're talking about someone who did tshuva, that they were empty, but when you do tshuva, there's donos nasalo kizchuyos, and now they become leim mitzvos kerimon. That's the koach hatshuva, that even though they taka were empty from mitzvos, they became leim mitzvos kerimon. That's not the pashtus. The pashtus is that even though they're rekanim, they're empty from the mitzvos that they should be doing, because a Jew has the capacity to do so many more mitzvos, but there's so many mitzvos that a Jew does just automatically, just because rachmanim b'shanim v'gom lechasadim. So you have a person who doesn't keep anything, but somehow he's giving tzedakah, he's helping people get jobs, he's doing mitzvos, because that's what a Jew does. That's the natural inclination of what a Jew is going to end up doing. So that's, I think that's how the Netziv explains, which l'chora is the pashas. Yeah, the Netziv in his commentary to Shir HaShirim writes that they're Malay mitzvos of tzedakah and gemilas chasadim, because that's in the teva of every Jewish person to do such mitzvos. So that's what it means, Malay mitzvos krimon. So says Gemara Elohadukhsiv Ovri Be'ima Kabacha, where we said it's a reference to the Poshe Yisrael that are punishing Gehenim. How is Reish Lakish going to explain Eina Eish Sholeit to Poshe Yisrael? So Huda Mechayvi Ahi Shaita BeGehenim. That's talking about someone who's chayv that moment in Gehenim. Va'asi Avram Avinu Masaklu Mekabalu. But then Avram Avinu comes and he takes them out of Gehenim. Bar mi Yisrael shabal basar chavim. So it's interesting. The Poshe Yisrael end up in Gehenim, but only until Avram Avinu comes and rescues them. Avram Avinu is there to look out for his children, and he comes and rescues them from Gehenim. Except for a Yisrael that was bal basar chavim, someone who intermarried. Dimashcha Arlaso Vlam of Shakarle, that he's Moshech Arlaso, he made himself like he's not Mohul, and therefore Avram Avinu is not going to recognize him in order to take him out, because he says he's Ki'ilu, he's not Nimol. And Avram Avinu only recognizes those who have a Bris Mila. So the Chida in Pesach Inayim says, why is it that this is the worst Avera in the whole world? Meaning, if you look at like an Avera as far as Onesh is concerned, there are worse Arayos than being Boel and Aramis, than being someone who's not Jewish. In fact, there's a major discussion in Poskim. What Avera exactly is it to be? It's not Nida, right? It's no explicit pasuk in the Torah that you're not allowed to be, that you're not allowed to intermarry, so to speak, right? So why is that the worst Avera? It's the only one that's not going to save you from Gehenim. From a halachic perspective, it's difficult to even find what the Avera, which pasuk is the Avera. It's an Avera, but it's difficult to find exactly where the Avera is. So the Chida writes that Yisrael, who were Amdu al Arsinai, was Pasku Zuamasan. Goyim were low Paska Zuamasan. They never had that Zuama leave them. So when one is Boel Agoya, he's being Moshe Parla, so he's bringing back that Zuama. So the Sfasema says, and what about Malay Mitzvahs Kerimon? Meaning, okay, we said, Afilu Rekanish Bach, even people do all sorts of Averos. Why is this Avera different? So he says that just like we remove the Mila from him, we also remove all the Mitzvahs from him. Meaning by denying the Mila, he's denying his identity as a Jew. Once you deny your identity as a Jew, so then all the mitzvahs you're showing that they mean absolutely nothing to you. So it's an active rejection of the mitzvahs. So if one actively rejects the mitzvahs, then Malayim Mitzvahs Kerimon is not going to help such a person. So such a person is going to suffer in Gehenim like the Poshe of the Chavin. So Masach Rav Kahana, Hashadam Poshim to Pashi Vazli, now that you say Poshim, it means that they continue to be Poshaya, meaning that even we said that it's Lashon Hove, it's not Lashon Avar, that they continue to be Poshaya, even Al Pisco Shel Gehenim, El Me'ata Duxiv Hamotzi, if that's how you're going to be Medayek from the Pasuk, that since it says Poshim, it means that it continues to happen, so Hamotzi, when the Pasuk says Hamotzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liyosachem Lelukim, Ani Hashem, so Vamala, or the Pasuk says, Ki Ani Hashem, Hamala Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liyosachem Lelukim, does Demasik or Demapiku, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is mala us right now. It's a Lashon Hova. You can't say that. No, clearly it means that it was a historical event. It was something that once happened. So, here also, also, it doesn't, even though it uses a present tense, sometimes things are described in the present tense, even when describing historical events. So, Pashu might mean, Poshim might mean, Shepashu, that they previously were Poshaya, and therefore, Rav Kahana rejects Reish Lakish's drasha, that the Poshim, even al Pisco Shel Gehenim, continue in their evil ways. He says, no, it's describing how they got to the Pisco Shel Gehenim, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're continuing to act that way, even once they're there at the Pisco Shel Gehenim, and therefore he says, we don't have to come on to that whole answer that we gave, that Kan Poshe Yisrael, Kan Poshe of the Chavim, everybody does tshuva by the Pisco Shel Gehenim. Once we're talking about the Pisco Shel Gehenim, there are three doors to Gehenim. Echab Lamidbar, Echab Yam, Echab Yerushalayim. One in the Midbar, one in the Yam, and one in Yerushalayim. How do we know? But Midbar, by the Midbar, it says, by Adas Korach, Vayerdu, Heim, V'chalash Alehem, Chayim Sha'ola. So that's a reference to Gehenim. So there's apparently an entrance in the Midbar. B'yam Dechsev, because when Yonah was in Me'adaga, it says that he called out, Mi beten Sha'ol Shivati, Shamata Koli. That he called the place that he was, Sha'ol. And Sha'ol is a reference to Gehenim. And the third place we find is Yerushalayim. Dechsev, Pasuk says, Nishayonu, Hashem Asher Orlo B'tzion, V'tanu Lo B'Yerushalayim. So V'tanu the Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Asher Orlo B'tzion, Zu Gehenim. V'tanu Lo B'Yerushalayim, Zu Pischa Shel Gehenim. So it describes the Pesach of Gehenim being in Yerushalayim. Frak the Gemara, only three? V'su Lecha, aren't there more entrances to Gehenim? V'am Rabbi Mirion, Am Rabbi Shobalevi, V'am Rila, Tana Rabba Bar Mirion, B'de Bei Rabbi Yonason Ben Zakkai, Shtei Tomorrow, Yesh Be'gei Ben Hinom. There are two palm trees in a certain place near Yerushalayim. Va'ola Ashan Mibenein, and smoke comes out from between them. V'zui Shashanin, Tzinei Arbarzel, Tsheros. And that's what we talk about when we say that the Tzinei Arbarzel, a crusher for a lulav, that they have a certain type of branch that's very short, but they're nevertheless kosher for a lulav on Sukkot. But Zuhi Pisco Shel Gehenim. This Gemara appears in Pesach Sukkot as well, and this is the Pesach of Gehenim, exactly where these trees are located. Says, don't you see that there's this fourth location of the Pesach of Gehenim? Says Gemara, Dilma Haimid Yerushalayim. Maybe that's a reference to the Pesach that's in Yerushalayim. It's not an additional Pesach; it's a description of what the Pesach in Yerushalayim looks like. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Shiva Shemel Siyesh Gehenim. Gehenim has seven names. Eluhain Shaol, like we already mentioned. Va'avadon uve'er shachas uvar shaon v'titayavein v'tzalmaves v'eretz hatachtis. How do we know that? Sha'ol d'chsev, because the Yonah says mi beten shal shivati shemata koli. Avadon d'chsev, because the Pesach says until him hayisuper ba'kever chastecha amunascha ba'avadon, is a person after he's dead going to be able to speak about the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when he's in avadon is he going to be able to speak about the amunah. So avadon's reference to Gehenim. Be'er shachas d'chsev kilos ha'as of nafshi l'sha'ol lo sitin chesed chal diros shachas. So someone who's botech b'Hashem is not going to end up in the Sha'ol and the Shachas. Shachas reference to Gehenim. Ba'or Sha'on v'titayavin d'chsev, because the Pasuk says that David was molded to Hashem v'yalin mi'bar Sha'on mi'titayavin, that he saved him from going down to Gehenim. V'tzalmaves d'chsev yoshe choshech v'tzalmaves. So and Eretz Tachtis gemaruhu. And the fact that it's called Eretz Tachtis, that's a tradition. We don't have a Pasuk for that. That's just the Kabbalah that Chazal have. Says more of Suleka, no more names. Vayika Gehenim, what about the fact that it's also called Gehenim, the most obvious of all names? So says Gemara, no, Gehenim is really a nutrikun, it's not really a proper name. Ge sha'amuka b'gei hinom, or the sha'kol yoridla al iske chinom, that everyone ends up there because of the sins of Arayos. Arayos are called chinom, because the Gemara says in Masechas Yuma, zecharnu sadagar sharnechol b'mitzrayim chinom, and the Marsha points out that some say that that's a reference to our Arayos in the Gemara, that when they say that we remember the Dagah in Mitzrayim, that we ate Chinam, they were actually reminiscing about the Arayos of Mitzrayim, Shtufe Zima in Mitzrayim, and that's why it's Gei Hinam, is Gei Chinam, is where we go, because on account of Chinam. It says Mar Vika Tifta, but isn't it also called Tifta Dechsiv? Because the Pasuk says in Shayo, Ki Aruch Meyat Mol Tifta. So who shekala mispata biyitzro yipol sham. No, tifta is just a reference to how you get there. If someone is mispata biyitzro, we just said yesterday, a yitzro with two yuds, oily miyitzri, oily miyotzri. So a person who gives into the yitzar on account of in the cost of not listening to the yitzar ends up in Gehenim. Gan Eden, Amr Reish Lakish, im be'eretz Yisrael hu beis shan. Where is Gan Eden? So if it's in Eretz Yisrael, it must be in Beis Shan, because that's where the sweetest fruits, Beis Shan Pischol, the entrance must be in Beis Shan, because that's where the sweetest fruits of Eretz Yisrael are. V'im ba'aravya, and if it's in Aravya, Beis Gerim Pischol, then Beis Gerim is the Pesach. V'im be'na naharosu to maskinin Pischol. So we're identifying places that are really spectacular in this world and saying that if the Pesach of Gan Eden is somewhere in that area, it must be there. B'bavel, if it's in Bavel, abay mishtabek peperi demabri yamina, rav mishtabek peperi darpanya. They each had different fruits that they, different locations of the fruits that they preferred. Good, that is the end of the Agadah. Now we go back to the dinim of Pasi Biraos. So we said, Ubinayim Kimelo Shtei Revakos. We said that in between the Pasi Biraos, you're allowed to leave an opening of two Revakos, but Rameir said two Revakos, two sets of cattle of three each, and Rabbi Yudah said two sets of cattle of four each that are Kshuros Velo Mutaros, that are tied up and not untied. So says Mara, that's such a strange expression. Pshita, Kimin Tatanulei De Kshuros Havu, Anani Adinim Delavu Mutaros. If something is tied up, I know that it's not untied. Why does it have to say that are tied up and not untied? Says Mara, Mal De Teim Kshuros, Ke'en Kshuros, Avul Mamish Lo. That Kshuros just means they have to be close together, Ki'ilu they were tied up, but they don't actually have to be tied up to measure it. Kamash Melon Velo Mutaros. That's why I say, no, they cannot be untied. That if you're measuring it properly, they actually have to physically be tied up. Achas and Chasas Vachas Yotes. One in, one out. When you're aligning the animals. So Tana Rivka Nechlesas Rivka Yotes. That one of the sets of cattle facing one way and the other set facing the other way. It doesn't mean that one animal and one animal. It means you have your set of three all facing that direction, then your next set of three facing in the other direction. So Tana Rabbanan, Kama Rosh of Rubish Shalpara. Let's talk practically. How much space is this? You telling me how many cattle? How much space is this? How much space does the Rosh of Rubish Shalpara take up? Because we said you have to make the Pasi Biraos in a way where the majority of the animals able to fit inside of the Pasi Biraos so that you don't come to accidentally take the water out beyond the Pasi Biraos. So that is Shtei Amos. The Kama of your Shalpara and how wide is a Parah's body? Amu Shtei Shlishei Amos, an Amah and two-thirds. Shehein Ke'eser Divrei Meir. So when you have six times one and two-thirds, so you're going to end up with 10 Amos for the six cows. So Rabbi Yudah Omer B'Sholosh Shlishei Amos U'Ba'ar B'Esrei Amos. That it's something like 13 or 14 Amos because Rabbi Yudah has 8 cows, so 8 times 1 and 2 thirds is somewhere around 13 or 14 amos. So says Gemara, Ke'eser ha'eser avion. Why do you say that it's like eser amos? It's exactly eser amos that the cows take up. Says Gemara, Mishum Dubai the Mishum Seifa, because the Tana of the Seifa wants to tell us Kishlosh esrei, that it's like 13 amos, where over there it's not 13 amos mudiyakos, it's not exactly 13 amos, so that's why we say Ke'eser in the Resha. So Kishlosh esrei Tvei avion. It's not really like 13, it's more than 13. Mishum Dubai the Mishum Karba esrei, because we want to say it's like 14. Well, Karba esrei Hello Havio, but it's not 14, it's less than 14. So Amra Papa, Al Shosh that it's more than 13 but less than 14. That's what we say, that it's kishlosh esrei ka'arba esrei, that it's somewhere in between 13 and 14 amos. So we had a machlokas Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Meir, where Rabbi Yudah said that it's four, that you put four diyumdin on the four corners by the bar, and Meir said that that's not enough, you also have to add a board somewhere on the side as a side wall, that the diyumdin themselves are not enough. So the Gemara just points out, I'm Rav Papa. A pup points out, Bibar Shmona, if the bar itself is 8 amos wide, and now you need to leave additional space outside of the bar for Rosh of a Rubo of an animal, then Dekuli Amelo Pligi Delobinim Shutin. Then everyone would say that if you space the Diyumdin as close as you can, leaving enough space for the animal, you're not going to need sideboards as well. You're only going to need the corner pieces. Why? Because if you're Martik from the bar all around 2 amos in order to leave room for the animal, and you have a bar or Shmona. So you're going to have from one end to the other end will be 12 amos, is the area that you're enclosing. But each diyomet is an amma by an amma. So that takes away 2 amos. It means that you're left with an entrance of exactly 10 amos. So an entrance way of 10 amos for sure doesn't need any side posts. That's a perfectly fine entrance to have 10 amos. But if the bar itself is 12 amos, and then you need to add 2 amos on each side, so now you're dealing with an area of 16 amos, and you're only mima'et 2 amos from by the diyomdin being added to being put into the picture, so you're left with 14 open amos. Then Then for sure you need pshutin, because we said that the machlokas was 10 amos of space in between you're allowed, or 13 and change. But 14, that's already too much. So keep pligi, the whole machlokas is mishnaman v'at shtemesre. If the bar itself is somewhere between 8 and 12 amos, and you're putting the pasi biros as close as they can be, leaving 2 amos of space for the animal, that's where the Rameir bin pshutin. Rameir is going to say that you're going to need pshutin, the Rabbi Yehuda lo bin pshutin. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not going to need the extra boards on the sides. Rapapa my kamashmal and tanina. What's Rapapa adding? We already had this in the Brisa. So Rapapa Brisa lo shmile kamashmal and kabrisa. Rapapa was unaware of that Brisa, so he was telling us what the Brisa said. Okay, now we're going to get to 6 different questions that Abaye asked Rabba. Again, we're not going to get to all 6 today, but we'll at least get started. So the Gemara starts off with the simon of what these questions are. But by me, Abaye me Rabba. Abaye asked the following question of Rabba. Harith b'diyamdan kshir pshutin rameir mahu. In those situations where Rameir says that you need pshutin as well, that it's not enough to have the diyamdan, it's not enough to have the corner pieces, you need the sideboards as well. What if instead of sideboards you just made the corner pieces larger? Would that work as well to the point where you narrowed the entranceway appropriately? So would that work? So Amalei Tanisua, we already learned in our Mishnah that you can be marked b'vadshe yarbe b'pasin. So Mailav demarak b'diyumdin. When we say yarbe b'pasin, doesn't that mean that you make the diyumdin longer and that's okay as well? Lo demapish v'alvet pshutin. No, maybe it means that you add boards on the sides. Ihachi hay u'b'vadshe yarbe b'pasin. If we're talking about adding new boards, it should have said yarbe pasin, that you're bringing new boards. Yarbe bipasin implies that you're taking the boards that are already there and being marbe them and expanding them. So says Maratini, achi yarbe pasin. Okay, so change the text. It should say achi yarbe pasin, that you have to actually add more boards in there. Igadam yarmalitani suo, blvachi yarbe bipasin. Others have a version of the discussion where it goes like this. Achi yarbe pasin, my love. Doesn't Yarbe Pasin mean that you add extra boards? Lo, Demarach B'diyumdin. No, it means that you extend the boards, that the corner pieces that are already there. And Achinam Misarim, it's kind of Vachi Yarbe Bipasin, Shema Mina. And it's Meduyot that way because it says Vachi Yarbe Bipasin. So according to the Igadamri, we actually come to a conclusion that it definitely works to add on to the existing Diyumdin. Second Shiloh that he asked him, Baimene Abayime Rabba. If it's more than 13 and a third amos, and you need to be ma'idit, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't mention anything about pshutim, what's the way to be ma'id? Pshutin avid obidiyum din marach. Should you add pshutim? Should you add flat boards on the sides? Or is it better to be marach bidiyum din? Some late to Nisua, we already learned this as well. Kamehen mekuravin. How close can the diyum din be to the be'er? Kidei rosh of ruba shel parah. Close enough that you still leave room for a rosh of ruba shel parah. But if you have more space than that, that's no good, because then we're afraid you're going to be motzi from Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah and beyond the diyumdin. V'kama meruchakin, and how far can they be? Afilu kor, v'afilu karayim, massive areas of land, a kor, a place where you can plant a kor of tevua, karayim of tevua. Rabbi Yudomer beis asayim. Rabbi Yudomer says, no, your limit is beis asayim. Again, 50 amos by 100 amos. Mutter, that's mutter. Yosim beis asayim aser. To make a pasi biros on more than beis asayim, that's going to be aser. So I'm going to Rabbi Yudomer. Aren't you moda that even much larger areas than a base asayim are going to be mutter if it's a deer, a sawar, a mukta, different places that are hukaf ladira? We allow as long as it's hukaf ladira, we allow massive enclosures. So why by the pasi biros are you limiting it to base asayim? Amar lahan. So Rabbi Yehuda responded back to the Chum, you can't compare. compare the two. Zo mechitza ve'elu pasin. When we talk about the deer, the sower, the muktza, the chatzar, those are mechitzos. Mechitzos can surround an area as large as you want. But over here, we're only talking about pasin, where each one of the pasin biros is only an amma by an amma, and you're leaving a pirtza that's gigantic, that's more than 13 amos, so you can't allow an area of more than beis hasayim. So says Mar v'emisa, but if the shittas Rabbi Yehuda is that when the space between the diyumdin is too large, you extend the diyumdin and not add pasim, he shouldn't have said that the difference between the pasim grows to the mechitza sadir is zu mechitza zu pasim. He should have said zu mechitza zu mechitza mi baile. If you're extending the diyumdin, he should have said this is also mechitza because it's extended diyumdin and that make up a mechitza in their own right. So achi kamar Torah zu Torah's mechitza la upirtsa be'eser ve'elu Torah's pasim alei and upirtsa and b'shloshes yamu shlish. No, what he meant to say is even if it's functioning like a mechitza, the yomdin that are extended form a mechitza type of enclosure, but nevertheless, we're not using the normal rules of mechitza, because normal rules of mechitza is that you're only allowed to have openings up until 10 amos. So since we have this extra kula over here by Pasi Biros, it has to be that we could be a little more makel. That's all he's trying to that we have to be a little more machmir about the size of the enclosure. That's all he's trying to say. But he can't be medayik how to fix it. One last shayla we'll do today. Bay minay bay miraba. Tell him a slakid. Asar mitoch arba. Let's say you just have a big mound in one of the corners instead of the regular corner piece. Nidon mishim diomed oin and nidon mishim diomed. So is that going to count as a corner piece, even though it's not actually a corner piece, just a big pile of dirt that's on a steep incline? Samle tenisua. Reb Shimon Elazar Omar Aizah Shem Evan Murubas. If you have a block in one of the corners, a square block, roon kol shilu techalik v'yesh ba'amalekan ba'amalekan. If you'd be able to carve out a diomed that was an am in each direction, then need then it works. But if not, then it doesn't count as a diyumad. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochum ben Broka Omer, Haisa Shem Eben Agula, even if it was a round piece in one of the corners, Kol Shilu Tichakek V'Tichalek V'Yesh V'Amelkan V'Amelkan. If you could square it off and then hollow out an amma by an amma, then Nidon Mishum Diyumad, then that also would count. But if it's not large enough to square off and then hollow out an amma by an amma, it would not count. So B'Maikum Mifugi, what exactly is the machlok over here? So Mar Savar Reb Shimon ben Elazar holds Chad Rowan Amrinan Trey Rowan Lo Amrinan, that if the piece is already square, we could say Rowan as if it's carved out. But you're not going to take a circle and then say Rowan as if it's a square, and then Rowan again as if it's carved out. Umar Savar, but Reb Shimon ben Elazar Reb Yochanan Broka holds I feel Trey Rowan Nami Amrinan. We even say Trey Rowan, and therefore even if it's round, it's going to be okay. And the assumption is that the pile of dirt is like the Evan Agula that's Tully in this Machlokas Tanaim that you have to say a Trey Rowan. So if you hold Trey Rowan, then that would be good enough. Okay, Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with the fourth Shaila tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos and a great day.